You're listening to TV Tangents, a retro TV podcast. Welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you here. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. This is our third episode, and we're really enjoying ourselves so far.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Rebecca.
And I'm Natalie.
And today we're going back to the 60s.
The 60s.
We're talking about the Munsters. Not the Munsters.
Not the Munster cheese. We'll autocorrect if you type it out.
Somebody kept emailing me about the Munster cheese.
About the Munster cheese, which we forgot to get Munster cheese to have while we talked about the Munsters.
That's okay. We had cheddar biscuits.
We did.
Anyway, in my opinion, the Munsters is like Dark Shadows, you know, the original series.
Yeah.
Meets the Monkees. Yes. That's what I think was thinking of when I was watching them. Neither of which had been aired when the Munsters aired in 1964.
That's true. And speaking of 64, I had to look at to see what years, and it was 64 through 66. And when I watched the Munsters when I was young, probably because it was in black and white, mm-hmm. I was like, this was a show from the 40s or the 50s. in my head, I thought that. Plus the way the gloom and doom of like Dracula's castle, mm-hmm. I guess, too, probably made it seem that way, that was the premise. Or maybe that's what they were trying to do. So, yeah.
Actually, it was made by Universal Studios to, hearken back to the days of the old 30s and 40s movies.
There you go.
Which is why you think of that when you're watching it.
I thought that. Exactly. It seemed so much older when I was watching it back in the day for that reason.
Yeah, and Universal Studios had exclusive rights to those monsters. So no one else could make a Frankenstein's monster that looked like their Frankenstein monster.
Ah.
But they could do it on this show because they had rights to it. So if you wanted to do Frankenstein, you had to make him look a different way. You couldn't have the flat head and the bolts coming out of his neck.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff.
Very interesting. Because that is true. I kind of think now of other things I've seen where they always change up the Frankenstein look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exclusive. So.
And that's what's interesting to me because Herman Munster is just an interesting character. And I forgot a little bit about how much he acts like a baby.
He's goofy.
He's very goofy. And he would just, his little laugh, at his like, ho, 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 kind of laugh. And it was like just over stuff that like little kids would be excited about. And I just forgot kind of that element of it because then he can also, you know, get mad or whatever. Because there's the whole element of him running through walls all the time that somehow must get built back up. Because,
right.
You know, like, well, on the premise of them coming out at the beginning of the TV show, he busts through.
Uh-huh.
And then they all walk out that hole instead of walking out the door. And that's a prevailing theme, I think, throughout the whole series.
That door got knocked down multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
And not just the door, the framing.
The framing.
The whole mm-hmm. front of the house.
Yes.
Herman Munster was played by Fred Gwynne.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of Frankenstein's monsters, was
yes.
the premise,
yes.
which we find out later in that A Visit from Johann episode, that he was one of many Frankenstein monsters, but he was just like the successful one that went mm-hmm. off and
yes,
moved to the suburbs.
Cousin Johann was not so good and did not learn the English, and they tried to teach Johann English, but yeah, they kind of made it seem like Herman was a success story, and there were several other attempts that did not do well.
And Johann was running around the countryside terrorizing women, I think is what the dude said when he met Cousin Johann.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was definitely, since he was nonverbal, would be, they're already monsters, but, and that's the other part of them being monsters as they did not see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were normal. And mm-hmm. I remember recently watching an episode where they were talking about, Lily was talking about Marilyn and her handicap. And I was just laughing. They were like, actually, they were, I think, in the jail trying to get Herman out. And so Lily and Grandpa are sitting there with Marilyn, who's the cousin who looks normal, does mm-hmm. not, is not
looks
a
normal
monster.
To us.
Looks normal to us. Not a monster. So Lily refers to her. She's like, it's so nice that that man's talking to Marilyn, even with her handicap.
Exactly. She was like the goth kid of the family.
Yeah.
She dressed normal.
Yes.
And they were all like, oh, Marilyn.
They're like, we're kind of embarrassed by her.
Marilyn. So this is the weird thing. I think the writers didn't think of it. Marilyn is named Marilyn Munster. But she's not a Munster. She is Lily's sister's daughter.
Yes.
And Lily is a vampire, and her last name is Dracula. And Grandpa's last name is Dracula. So Marilyn should therefore, unless her dad Mary was a monster, I have no idea.
Yes. That's very true. Never thought about that. Again, that's one of those things that sitcoms do, that you watch something too much and then you start to think about the things that were wrong and that they didn't think of.
They didn't want us to think of it.
Exactly. I do like that, though. And she was so sweet. And there was the episode where Uncle Herman tried to buy her a car, and he got a car for $375.
Oh, my.
I just remembered that part specifically. It made me laugh, and she was so happy. And then, of course, it was stolen, and it was a junker. And I loved that dynamic, that she was the odd one out. And
but they accepted her for who she was.
They sure did. They sure did.
The Munsters was a show like Bewitched, where it was, I think it was about acceptance and, like, you know, living in the world as who you are, and the Munsters were weird and they didn't really know it.
Yeah, people would freak out when they saw them coming, and, you know, they'd show them in different aspects of life, and Herman would go off to work every day with what I would assume would be quote-unquote normal people. And I remember the one episode, they're like, this guy's been in an accident, as the cops pull up behind him, and then they come up and they look at his driver's license, and it matches what he looks like. Oh, this is what he looks like normally.
I love Herman. He's like a TV dad. He's funny, and he tells the dumbest jokes, and his family are just like, dad.
Corny, corny jokes.
That's so funny.
And they had the same problems that, you know, the regular sitcoms did. So Eddie Munster is the little boy who's werewolf, and
he's half vampire, half werewolf. Half, so can we please talk about that?
Yes, because he's got the little ears. And then I think he came down to the kitchen one time and asked if he could curl his ears or something. And I was just laughing. And he had a little werewolf doll that he carried around everywhere. And I feel like I know its name, but I can't think of it. I want to say it's Ralphie, but that
it's
sounds...
It's like Woof Woof, or I don't even know.
Maybe it's Wolfie. It's Wolfie.
I don't know.
I think it's Wolfie.
Well, he also, he sleeps in a cage.
Yes.
He doesn't have any, like, he doesn't have a bed. And his mom at one point was like, oh, I just changed your lining today.
Yes. Yeah, they're, like, the stuff in their house, I was thinking the same thing. There was, like, the phone that was in, like, a coffin booth, like, that came out of the wall, and it was a coffin, and then the phone was in there.
I would have that in my house.
Yeah. And then they sat in the living room, and I always remember seeing Grandpa sitting in, like, the electric chair.
Oh, yeah.
They had that as just a regular piece of furniture. And then there was, like, the laboratory or whatever downstairs. There was, like, a panel
in
the floor.
Which you could get to either from the stairs.
Yes.
Inside the stairs or the panel on the floor.
The panel on the floor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very creepy. And then there was, like, the dragon that was under the stairs that was, like, their pet.
His name was Spot.
Spot.
He was a dragon.
He was a dragon. And they would send him out, and it was, you know, again, busting through the front door, like the theme.
Well, so how is Eddie a vampire and werewolf if his mom is a vampire and his dad is Frankenstein's monster? The only thing I could come up with late at night when I was watching it. This is really risque. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Herman is a Frankenstein, so he's pieced together from, like, a bunch of different cadavers. I'm assuming that one of those cadavers was a werewolf, or he wasn't able to, so they just, like, maybe they got a sperm donor.
You're right.
That's why Lily doesn't want to have another baby, because I was watching an episode where Eddie tells Herman that he wants a baby brother, and Herman faints. And I'm like,
as does Lily.
Right. Yes. And oh, what are we going to do? We can't tell him.
Yeah. How could we possibly make another
Herman's
baby?
Herman's not his dad.
What? Oh my God. Exactly. You're right. I never thought that process of that he's half werewolf, and how is that possible? So yeah.
I think that's my theory.
The question that needs to be
two
answered.
Two possibilities.
Yes, two possibilities there.
Parts? Could be adopted. I have
werewolf
no idea.
Parts?
Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, never really got into that about how and why did they react the way they did when he wanted a baby brother and got a robot brother instead.
Well, then in that episode, Herman was like, well, maybe I could give him a brother. And so he talks to Grandpa about it, and they have this weird discussion by the stairs where they're trying to, like, Grandpa, Lily's dad, is trying to figure out with Herman how they can get Lily to do the deed to have the baby.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
Awkward.
So then Herman put on a bonnet and started acting like a baby.
To try to entice Lily in some way. It was very, very weird. Yes, as I rewatched episodes now, I thought, like, this show is so corny. So still, I just remember watching it so much when I was little, but now I'm like, wow, this some of this stuff doesn't make any sense at all.
Because I don't think they thought that we would think it through that deeply because we were just watching it one day.
Mm-hmm. And then, like we talked about before, there was... Back in the day, there was no thought of this being seen 60 years later.
Right. And nobody's going to be able to bring this up on their TV at home because they're bored one night and watch it.
Watching the Munsters. But this was also a reminder of some of the language from the shows back then. Again, as we get into some of the other ones, like Leave It to Beaver. but I was watching one of these episodes and Eddie Munster, when kids were asked questions and they didn't know, they'd say, search me. And I just think that's hilarious. Like, and so over the years, I always thought that like, you know, we'd try to say corny things from old shows. And so I'm like, search me. I should start saying that all the time now.
Search me.
When people ask me questions at work, I should do that to my employees. Search me. And they'll be like, what?
We should be bringing back all the old... Good old stuff. All the
vernacular. We really should.
Well, this show came out the same time as The Addams Family.
Yes.
They both premiered within a week of each other. And I always thought that The Addams Family was black and white because it was like a macabre thing.
Yeah.
Well, CBS first introduced color television broadcasting in 1950. And the company actually developed the color broadcasting in 1940, which we, in a previous episode, were contemplating whether or not there was TV before 1950.
Yes.
And apparently there was.
Wow.
It was in black and white, but before 1946, nobody really had TVs. Most of them were in New York, because that's where the stations were broadcasting from.
Makes sense.
And that's where they were the strongest. So basically TV was like a novelty, like laser discs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or whatever. And homes didn't really start to get them until the mid-50s. So color TV was really, really expensive. So nobody had color TV sets. Yeah. And it was super expensive to produce color TV. So for them to have made the Munsters in color, it would have cost $10,000 an episode.
Oh, man.
To produce in 1950s money. Wow. Or 1960s money, I guess it would be. So... It looks good that way,
it does.
It looks like the old movies, and I think that's what's appealing about it.
I think so, too. I don't think it would be, I don't think it would have the same appeal at all if that was in color. Mm-hmm. And to me, it makes it, as funny as the show is, and it's a comedy, it's a sitcom, there is that creepy vibe to it, because you're in the castle, you're in Dracula's castle, or whatever, and it's black and white, and it's creepy, and there's cobwebs everywhere, which they keep there on purpose, like you can tell that's their decoration.
The house is so dirty, I just can't.
It is, it's so dirty, and so funny.
The Addams Family, their house isn't dirty, dirty,
yeah.
But like the Munsters, it's dirty.
It's dirty, like on purpose, because I remember like looking, dusty. and they had like cobwebs specifically placed.
Here's our cobweb garland.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I think that's for sure true. Like, I don't think in color that would not have worked.
Well, later they did specials in color.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, both of those shows, again, went off the air at about the same time in 1966 because of shows like Batman that were in color.
Yeah.
And color got really popular really fast when it became cheap in, like, 1965. So, by 1966, most of the primetime shows were... broadcasting color. Anyway, there was one episode, like I said, it was about like accepting people as they are, and there were a lot of shows like that at that time. And in one episode that I was watching, Herman was giving a speech to Eddie about, because Eddie was being bullied at school, or someone was being bullied at school, so he was talking to Eddie about not judging people for what they look like, because it's what's on the inside and what's in your heart.
Yeah.
That is important. And he was like, oh, yeah, Dad. Like, give him the dad speech.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. Herman's telling him that to his vampire werewolf son. We should all listen to him.
And it's good that that's, you know, that is funny because of the way the premise of the show and them looking the way they do. And I guess maybe the writers at the time were actually thinking to themselves, let's use that as a teaching lesson. And that was the theme, I'm sure, throughout time on lots of different shows. But
Hollywood has always tried to teach us things.
That's true. Definitely the part about not judging people by how they look.
Well, let's talk about the cast of the Munsters.
Yes.
Herman Munster, like we said, was Fred Gwynn. Yes. And he was 6'5". And they made him wear those shoes, mm-hmm. those elevator shoes that made him taller. And there was a point where he was going down into that cellar mm-hmm. or the laboratory.
The laboratory.
That I swear he was going to twist his ankle.
Yeah. I don't know how, I mean, the way they make it look, and I'm sure it's shot different ways, but walking in those shoes, I can't even imagine.
And that his whole costume, he was padded.
Yeah.
And he apparently lost a lot of weight from that costume.
Yeah.
Because he was hot all the time, and well, he wouldn't do appearances. Well, I mean,
he has a head thing on, you know, he to have the flat Frankenstein head, and...
Wearing that makeup every day, that stuff is thick.
Mm-hmm.
That would suck.
Because everybody else kind of got the easy way out.
Yeah.
They didn't have as much on.
Yeah. Well, he played some other roles. He played, before that, he was Officer Francis Muldoon in Car 54.
Yeah.
And... Grandpa also was in Car 54. Al Lewis was not his partner, but he played Officer Schnauzer, another one of the cops in Car 54. Yep.
And I'm pretty sure I saw the Munsters before I saw Car 54.
Yeah,
I always thought about that. And I'm like, wait a second. And I don't know if I recognized necessarily Fred Gwynn. I think maybe my dad had to point that out to me. Mm. But when I saw Grandpa, I was like, that's Grandpa.
That's Grandpa. And he's pretty much the same character.
Exactly.
Grandpa, yeah. His makeup always accentuated his lipstick accentuated his mouth.
Yes.
He had, like, a very...
Giant mouth.
Yeah, giant mouth and, like, a very interesting way of talking.
Yes.
And
his smile is huge. So, yes, definitely. I've always noticed that as I watched the Munsters.
Well, Fred Gwynn was also in one of the awesome movies from the 80s. A couple awesome movies from the 80s. Pet Sematary, which I've never seen.
Me neither.
Okay, but I saw that on the Google. he was in My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was in The Boy Who Could Fly. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, I feel like I saw that a long time. Was that something about the wagon?
What?
The Boy That Could Fly. I'm sorry, maybe I was thinking of Radio Flyer. Is that that's a whole separate movie.
That's a different movie.
Okay, then I was like, that's the movie I thought you were talking about, so... It was like, The Boy Who Could Fly.
There's no wagon in The Boy Who Could Fly.
I'm like, don't know then. Don't know.
The Boy Who Could Fly? I don't think it was a very popular movie, but it was a weird little movie about So Fred Gwynn played the uncle of a autistic boy who didn't speak. And then Millie, the next door neighbor, like befriended the boy. And he kept trying to tell her that he could fly. And she was like... That's ridiculous. You can't fly. And then Fred Gwynn's character, the uncle, Uncle Hugo, I think it was always drunk. And he's like, yeah, I can fly, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think you've never seen that. I'm pretty sure I've never seen it. Even though, as you're describing the names of the characters, it seems oddly familiar. So maybe I saw it once when I was real young.
It was a strange little movie. And I wish I could remember the name of the actor because he was in things later. But... anyone who's listening to this who has seen The Boy Who Can Fly and liked the movie is going... oh my goodness, someone else watched The Boy Who Can Fly.
And right now, as they're listening to us, they're like, this was the character, this was his name. I know that guy's name.
If you would just Google it. I don't want to.
Google it.
I can't
you
just.
I don't want to. That's what everybody else Google in life is for. Let us know these things.
Let's pretend it's the 80s. And I can't Google it.
Yes, and we can't use the Google.
So another character was Lily.
Lily.
Lily Dracula Munster.
Lily.
Her maiden name is Dracula.
Yes.
She was played by Yvonne DiCarlo, who was a Universal Studios movie actress.
She had a long career before the Munsters.
And she was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like a dancer. She was in Salome, Where She Danced, was her first movie and her first big movie in 1945. She did other ones before that. She was in Band of Angels with Clark Gable.
Oh.
And she was in The Ten Commandments.
Yes.
So actually, when she did The Munsters, she was 42.
Mm-hmm.
So the same age as moi. And she actually needed the money, apparently. So she did the show. And she was actually 1 year older than Al Lewis, who played Grandpa.
Too funny.
Yeah. So makeup can do amazing
makeup
things.
Makeup does amazing things, that's for sure.
Yeah. After that, she did The Mark of Zorro in 1974. She had a small role in Roots, and she was on a couple of TV shows. She also had a couple of singles before The Munsters and an album.
Oh, wow.
She was a singer.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So that's super interesting.
That is interesting. I love going back and the person, the only way you know a person or like the main way you know a person mm-hmm. and reading about their history or maybe the rest of their career and finding out fun little facts.
Well, The Munsters is different because you can't see her face very well.
Yeah.
It's black and white and it's grainy and she's wearing all that makeup.
Yes.
And so you wouldn't even recognize her if you saw her in something else unless mm-hmm. you also Googled the internet. And found.
Yes, where I did use the Google to see her picture. And yeah, didn't even actually, yeah, looked very much not like her. It was way younger, of course, too. But then, yeah, you see her mm-hmm. with all the makeup on, and it's like, oh, completely different person.
Mm-hmm. Eddie Munster was played by Butch Patrick.
Yes.
Who started acting at the age of 8 and guest starred on several TV shows. He said that he got the role of Eddie Munster because he had bad teeth and he had his own fangs. He said later
all
on.
Right.
But who knows? After that, he went on to do TV shows like I Dream of Jeannie and Adam 12 and the Christmas episode of The Monkees.
The Christmas episode of The Monkees?
Which I have seen 87 times.
Oh my goodness.
And never put it together that that was him.
But that's him. Again.
Isn't that weird?
The look of
yeah,
being a little different, probably.
Yeah, all that makeup and he didn't. I'm sure it even came on the screen, his name. And
probably.
I was like, nope. I always wondered why he was always at all the Monkees conventions.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? What? Is he just friends with them? No, it's because I'm not smart enough to put together
that
he was on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
In the Christmas episode.
That's hilarious.
Oh, and from 71 to 73, he starred in the children's series Lidsville, which was the creepiest thing I had ever seen in my childhood.
Oh, my goodness.
You probably don't remember it.
I don't.
It must have been running in reruns when I was like a toddler because it scared the bejesus out of me. It was these giant hats. It was dudes in giant hats with eye holes. So, like, just their legs were poking out. And Butch Patrick was, like, the guy in the show who would run around with these weird hats. Oh my god, it was so scary.
Oh my god,
it was like an acid
sound
trip.
Like anything normal.
But seeing as probably everyone who made shows when I was a kid was on acid, it probably that's what was going on. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Wow. That is very interesting.
I'm glad now that I haven't seen it. I'm gonna link to Lidsville in the notes because
wow.
We're gonna have to do an episode on creepy 70s shows. Because that'll be at the top.
Yes.
It was
very
up there.
Much.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then there's Marilyn Munster, who, like we said, was Lily's niece, and she was originally played by Beverly Owen for 13 episodes, but she left the show because she missed her boyfriend.
Oh.
He, his name was John Stone, and he was one of the directors on Sesame Street, and he lived in New York, and they were filming in L.A., and she missed him, so they let her get out of the show.
Mm.
She was on Another World for a couple years, but in the 70s.
Hmm.
Good but time. Other than that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then she was replaced by Pat Priest.
Pat Priest, yeah.
Because they wore, I guess, the same dress size. Yeah. You wouldn't
That's
even
the way
know
you do
watching
things.
The show. I mean, I'm sure nobody even noticed the difference.
No.
On
that
little black and white TV.
Say that, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of how they looked any different and, yeah, can't even remember.
She had a lot of uncredited roles.
Hmm.
Even after she did The Munsters. She was in Airport and in 1970, and it wasn't credited, which seems weird to me if you've already been on a show.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 1971, she starred in, or she starred as Linda in The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant. Every time I look these things up, I go down some weird rabbit hole.
Oh my goodness.
And then I end up in some dark part of the internet with the two-headed transplant.
And Lidsville.
In Lidsville. So here is the description.
Oh my gosh.
Well, part of the description of the two-headed transplant. Dr. Gerard transplants Cass's head onto Danny's body to prove that his techniques can be applied to human beings. The new creature, with one head of a murderer and the other with the mental capacity of an 8-year-old attached to an extremely powerful body, escapes and wreaks havoc. And the tagline on the movie poster says, "This brain wants to love. This brain wants to kill." I have no idea who played the heads.
Oh, my God. And was this a male or a female body?
It was a male.
Oh, okay.
So Linda was, like, the love interest who got, like, captured up by the head that likes to love. Heads.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The doctor was played by Bruce Dern. Do you know who that is?
I don't think so.
He was in The Burbs. And I could not tell you other things.
Anything else. In.
But did you ever see The Burbs?
I feel like I did, but I don't remember. I'm not remembering it enough.
Okay, well, he played the military dude in The Burbs. And okay. I wish I could tell you what else he was in. I should have done more research, but I didn't. So you can look up Bruce Dern.
I'll use the Google.
He was in lots of serious movies where he played a serious person. Mm, but he was also in this movie. And he claims he was never paid for the movie.
Oh.
But also the movie was shot in 6 days. I know that surprises you.
6 days?
6 days. I am going to find this movie.
I bet it's a great movie.
I know.
We should definitely watch this movie.
I definitely want to watch it. Oh, also, guess who played Dr. Ken Anderson in the movie? You'll never guess.
I don't know.
Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem. Amazing.
I didn't even know.
Never would have even thought.
You see the things that you can learn on the internet?
I love it. Love the internet. And maybe this is like even better stuff. So now that you're talking about like all these other movies and or shows, maybe somebody out there listening to us has it like recorded and wants to send it to us right. So we can be creeped out.
Just
and watch
email
stuff.
Me a copy of the exactly. Two-headed whatever thingy.
That'd be amazing. We need to heighten our things that we watch. And especially now that you've intrigued my interest. I mean, we'll probably make it like 10 minutes in and then be like, oh, no.
Right. There's probably a clip out there we can watch. I don't even know. I just keep coming across things I didn't know about. And my brother always liked campy movies like that.
Yeah.
Like weird movies.
Huh. Very interesting.
So, Natalie.
Yes.
Which monster do you relate to the most?
Oh, do I relate to? Yeah. Well, you know, let's go with the factor that they're all stared at all the time and judged on their appearance. I really thought about that, and I don't know about, like, relating to, even though, like, I like things done a certain way, so I feel like I'm Lily, because she was always, like, telling people, okay, da-da-da-da-da, and getting the organized. But I guess the obvious factor might be Herman Munster, being that, well, apparently the character, even though Herman himself, I'm sure, was taller, but myself being 6'5", and him being 6'5", I feel like that is, hopefully I don't look hideous like that, but no, seriously, that's, to me, the thought process is, like, the being stared at all the time and all that, and I guess when I watched that as a kid, that wasn't so much a factor, but now, when I rewatch it, I'm like, yeah, I would think that that's it, and wanting, you know, just trying to be yourself too, and you know, but then living that life, but they didn't really know either.
It's like an exaggeration though. The show is like an exaggeration of the way that people treat people who are different.
Yeah, for sure. Cause it's like they really, I mean, and I guess when you try to put it in terms of today, you know, like nobody, if you saw somebody like that, you'd be like, huh.
Right.
But back then too, I mean, it really would. I mean, again, there was so much of, like, the same, probably. And, yeah, it's very exaggerated where they're, like, people screaming and running and going. And if you saw some vampires walking down the street, not that we've had experience with that. Just saying.
Say what?
Just saying.
But people do still stare at people who are different, which weirds me out because I don't know what these people's parents taught them. My parents taught me don't stare.
Right.
And don't point.
And don't point
and
don't
be rude.
And whisper.
Take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
But I don't know where these people were raised.
People were not raised. Yeah. Definitely were not taught those things. And it's sad to watch people. Yeah. Still to this day, judge people or look at people a certain way when anything. I know that there's a shock value sometimes, I guess, when you see something on someone or see someone you've never seen in any situation. And there's always that. But again, you're right. Like the pointing, laughing, pictures, whispering. I mean, it's just weird.
It is weird.
And we were not raised that way. And so maybe that's why we are a little bit more like, what's wrong with people? And then I think as I've gotten older that you should just pump people up for their choices because let people be who they want to be. And
well, you know how much I love being in places where people are collectively happy.
Yes.
Like when we go to drag shows.
Yes.
And everyone is collectively happy because everybody's they're happy. In a place where they get to be them and they're comfortable.
And it's all love.
And that makes me happy. And like when I go to like comic book conventions. And everyone there is, like, dressed in their comic book stuff, and they're happy. And so the Munsters is, like, they're at home, and they're happy.
Yes.
And they're in their element.
Yes. And how about you? Which Munster do you relate to the most?
I relate to Marilyn, and don't think that it's because I think I'm hot or cute. Because she's, like, the outcast of... Not that I'm the outcast of my family, because I have a weird family. You know, whatever. But because she chose differently than the rest of the Munsters. Yeah. And when I was, like, you know, a teenager, I was trying to rebel. And I was trying to be different as possible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nobody was staring at me. But when you're a teenager, you're like, how come nobody's staring at me?
I'll give them a reason to stare at me now.
And because my parents let me be who I was, which sometimes was weird. And maybe they should have just said, you know, maybe not.
Maybe knock that off.
But my parents always let me be who I wanted to be. So except, you know, I couldn't show my belly button.
That.
But that's just across the line.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't have my ears pierced.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. Be yourself and then, yeah, be happy.
If I wanted to wear, you know, my dad's old clothes for a couple years, it's fine.
Hey, do you.
And who was your favorite character then?
My favorite character, I would have to say, I honestly think Lily actually is my favorite character. Because,
yeah, me too.
And I probably at times thought she was a little bit glamorous. I mean, she always wore a dress. I think Marilyn did too, but she was younger. And
everyone did.
I mean, Lily was just, and then the hair, you know, and she's got the color in the hair thing, which is like the Dracula look. But her makeup and all of that.
What
and
about again, that coffin lining that she wore?
Right? Exactly. I mean, you see all this stuff and it's like, that's just it. It's like, she was always put together and she was great. And she just was very, you know, she was the organizer and the matriarch of the family, and she really took on that role, and so she's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Again, it was a typical family, and she was a typical mom doing her typical mom thing.
Yep.
Cleaning the house, apparently not,
no. I'm not sure, and then she just was home all day, too, so just kind of doing her thing.
Maybe she was putting the dust on the couch.
I think that she probably was. I think they, like, preferred, they probably went and got cobwebs and put them up.
Oh, we don't have enough spiders.
We better hang these up.
I'm going to go get some spiders.
Yeah. So who's your favorite?
Lily.
Lily's your favorite,
that.
Too? Did you just say
were
that?
You not listening?
Sorry, I probably wasn't listening to you. We were probably agreeing while I was, like, talking about everything she was and is.
It's Lily. Although, so back to the Addams Family. Which was your favorite of the two shows?
Oh, man.
Because the Munsters was more fun.
Yeah.
But the Addams Family was, like, sexier.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was thinking. I feel like I watched the Addams Family more.
Yeah.
And the Munsters Munsters really was just funny to me. And I feel like Addams Family took it a lot more seriously. Mm. Like, they were very serious about who they were and being... And maybe that creeped me out a little bit more about them, though, too. Because, like, they lived a certain way, but they weren't monsters.
Right. They chose to live that way.
Yeah. They chose to live a certain way and kind of be a little creepy. Mm-hmm. And the Munsters were actual monsters just living their lives, like, not kind of oblivious to everything. Mm-hmm. And you're right. The Addams Family was creepy. So, yeah. They were just trying to be that way.
Although, for a very long time, I thought that Morticia Addams was part octopus.
Yes.
Because of her weird...
Of her weird dress.
Dress.
Yeah.
Because it, like, moved sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was all
It definitely was.
Octopus-ish.
Ish, yes.
Octopus-like. On the bottom.
And yes. And I was always thinking, like, she had to walk that way, too. Like, just very, yeah. like, you know, tiny steps.
I did want to be her, though.
I did kind of, too. Which is interesting, because I never really went through a goth phase, but she was kind of cool.
I wanted to be her, like, when I was, like, a small child. I'm not sure if that influenced me later in life. I have no idea.
But yeah, she was kind of awesome.
But yeah, that's the difference between the shows. Mm-hmm. One, definitely. They chose to be that way, and the other ones. So the Addams family, they liked it when people stared at them.
Yeah. Because
they got the reaction that they wanted.
Yep, they wanted to be that way.
And the Munsters were like, what, people are staring? What?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Why?
I don't understand. And then they would laugh about it.
Let's get in our hearse car and drive away.
There was the hearse car, which was awesome.
That was, yeah.
And then you always wonder, once again, where the castles are, like, who else lives around there? Like, there's, like, this big random castle, and then...
Yes, they lived in the California suburbs.
Yes.
And then so all the houses around them
were
just regular houses.
So, like, the same way as how they look, and then how people looked, and then here we are, the houses, and people are like, oh, look, there's a giant castle in our neighborhood.
Going back to The Burbs, a movie that you have never seen, apparently, that you should.
I feel like I saw it a long time ago, but probably once.
That was also in the suburbs, and then there was this house that didn't belong in the suburbs, and it was this big, tall, creepy mansion that was all dilapidated.
I feel like I did see that.
And then
I'll just go check
the suburbs.
Out. Yeah.
Everyone's seen that movie.
I think I have. I think I have. As you described it a little more, I feel like I've seen it. So
everyone knows who Bruce Dern is. Even though I can't name another
anything
movie.
Else.
Just think military movies or
military movies.
Maybe lots of killing movies. Oh, I don't even know.
Could be.
Well, thanks for listening. You can find more Munsters-related stuff on our Facebook page and drop us a line and say hi. If you want to help support the show, you can do so at www.patreon.com/TVTangents, where you'll get access to exclusive content like our hardcore fan and slightly toasted shows. Also, we're on Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to TV Tangents so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review on your platform of choice to let us know how we're doing.